Good evening. This is Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's Politically Incorrect podcast topic is Lithium, the Achilles heel. Brought to you by eternalfairsmedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter. Please help us with a donation to donate.media.online or by buying some bling at our store, store.eamedia.online, and help keep the truth online. So, we'll open with a brief prayer. The things in this country are getting worse and worse by the minute. Our rights and freedoms, our rights to religious freedom, and the churches themselves are taking those rights away by firing back at politicians who claim and patrons who claim that the churches should be open. So tonight's prayer is to see that our institutions and our religion are restored and maintained and are not lost to the heathens and Marxists who are attempting to take over our great nation and the world. We pray, hey, Heavenly Father, we pray in your glorious name that you grace us with the power of your almighty soul, that our great churches, our great leaders, and all the people of the world see your glory, that they may find and realize the power lies not in themselves and not in their governments, but in you, the Lord God, leader of all creation, creator and seer of everything, from times unknown to times unseen. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Whatever your path is, dear Lord, please make it known. Let us follow it. In your heavenly name, we pray. Amen. I'm going to start out tonight. We're going to hold the topic for a minute. You're probably wondering what lithium has to do with Politically Incorrect topic. What lithium has to do with politics in general. And we'll get to that in a minute. Folks, I'm very upset right now. In a future podcast, we'll talk about how to cut down social media and the mainstream liberal media. What's happening and why? You know, there's a big difference between the federal government, state government, and local government. To be politically correct, I'll say that crap flows downhill, typically. Basically, anything on the upper end can't control the lower end. So the lower end gets all the crap and has none of the ability to control anything. However, in federal government, our Constitution was the founders were very smart in limiting the government. They want to limit the power of the government because that was the problem we had in England. It's a problem they're having all over the world. The problem is the federal government can't control anything other than the federal government constitutionally. There's some limited ability to control things which cross state lines. But in general, there's no rule that says you can control certain things. And there's a reason for that. You know, you can control wages, but only for federal workers. You can make suggestions to the states on that. But the way the federal government works is they bribe the states. The way the state governments work is they bribe or threaten the local governments. Take the money away if you don't. Give money if you do. It's always about the money. Follow the money. Someone needs to take charge and control the media. I don't know how it can be done, but our First Amendment rights should extend to media which controls the word of the public, which you would think would be the word constitutionally, but it's not. We need to find a way to control censorship, both in the mainstream media and social media. So at this point, after watching many, many times these doctors that met at the Capitol and spoke to us, telling us their thoughts from the field about COVID-19. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, what are they doing? They're pulling them. They're shutting them down. They're shutting down their websites. They're shutting down their posts. They're shutting their voice down. Why? Not because they're offering alternative medications. Not because they're offering alternative figures. Why? Because they say you don't need to wear masks. This is from the front line. This is from the nurses and the doctors that are working in the hospitals that see these patients on a day-to-day basis. And Facebook and the mainstream media are calling them liars. They're fact-checking them and saying they're not facts. Personally, I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with it. I've had enough of it. So I've reposted it. I put it on my own server and put it up on Facebook with a warning to Facebook that if they take it down, they're going to be threatened with legal action. They've taken down three already, but they were reposts. So I don't know if they took mine down or they just took the one at the other end down. So more to this, more on this to follow, and probably in a later podcast, but it should be interesting. So onto the topic at hand. Topic at hand is lithium, the Achilles heel. Now, what does this have to do with politics? What does this have to do with what's right and what's wrong? Yeah, you need to understand, you need to know the story of lithium. You just need the story of power. Not in the sense of political power, in the sense of electrical power, mechanical power. Power rules the world. First it was the steam engine, then it was the gasoline engine. Then it was electricity. Electricity was first practical when the LaClanche battery was invented, late 1800s. Which became later the dry cell we know as the double A's, triple A's, D's, and C's. Basically the carbon zinc batteries. So let's see, that was an American invention. Not initially, some of the research was done in France and some was done in other countries, but the battery that was finally worked and manufactured, the first batteries were made in the United States of America. Most of your C, D, double A's, flashlight batteries and whatnot were made in America out of zinc and carbon. Paper, things we all have, and manganese, things that we have in America, American resources. Automobiles and other things needed more power, and came the lead acid battery, sulfuric acid, which is sulfur and other components, and lead plates, plastic casing. Made in America. Most of them still made in America. The heavy weight precludes shipment from overseas. Not enough power. You want your drills. You want your toys. You want to be able to recharge a battery and have it portable because it wastes a lot of energy to not be able to recharge these things. You want to run a radio for a police department or ham radio. You want to run a flashlight. Come out with nickel cadmium batteries. Nickel, cadmium, some chemicals mixed in. Nickel cadmium batteries were not invented in America, but most were manufactured in America. With American products and American materials. easy to mine, easy to manufacture. Not enough power. Not enough life. They had what's called a memory. Bad thing. If you didn't charge them fully each time, then they would learn not to charge fully. So the nickel metal hydride battery came out. Again, not an American invention, but a product that could be manufactured in America with American resources. American technology could manufacture these batteries. Huge chunk were made in America, later on in Japan. And eventually they went as far as China. China makes a lot of them now. But lithium. Modern technology requires extreme power in extremely small spaces. Now, if you look at your periodic table, there's a group called the halides, which are basically sodium, calcium, lithium, and others. Lithium is one of them. Batteries were attempted with sodium. There are some calcium batteries that were actually made, but lithium rules. The lithium battery, lithium ion, lithium metal hydride, lithium, many forms of lithium. Lithium is one of the metals that is most commonly used in modern technology for batteries, for power sources, and that other types of power sources. Other rare earth metals like indium and some of the others, bismuth and some of the others out there, also play a part. Platinum, palladium, gold, silver, all part of our modern technology. But lithium is the key. Without lithium, we can't run our cell phones. We can't run our Tesla vehicles, which are made out of basically flashlight batteries. Can't run our flashlights anymore. Can't run our radios, ham radios, police radios. Everything runs on lithium batteries. And they're all sizes and shapes, but one of the most ubiquitous is what's called an 18650 model lithium battery, designed and invented, created, and planned by the Chinese government. It's a standard, along with the smaller, I believe it's a 350. There's three or four basic sizes of these round flashlight-looking batteries. So why did they change that? And what does it mean to the United States and to the world? You see, you can only threaten a country so much. But when that country controls your technology, you're very limited on how you can retaliate when that nation is coming after you or wishes to own you, so to speak. The problem with lithium is twofold. The first is threefold. The first is the cost to mine and cost not just in dollars and cents, but the cost in the ultimate pollution and disasters created by lithium mining, just destroying the world. The second is it's because of the cost to mine it, the complexity. Slave labor is used a lot, child labor, to mine the lithium. But the third and the most important problem is the location. Without having a quote in front of my hands, and I should have had it for this evening's podcast, but I believe the figure was something like 80 or 85% of the world's known lithium resources reside in China. And the Chinese designed and created that 18650 battery to be ubiquitous. Patented and controlled by the Chinese government to replace the double A's, triple A's, C's. See, the problem is that you couldn't just come up and say, let's put lithium in a double A battery or put sodium or calcium. Because when you get up in that reactive side of the periodic table, the voltage created by a reaction is double that of what you would get from your lower elements, like, you know, manganese and sodium, ammonium chemicals used in the regular flashlight batteries. So if you made a battery that's shaped like your AA's and your AAA's and you put lithium in it, made it out of lithium, it would have double the voltage and it would burn up everything you put it in because nobody would know what the voltage is supposed to be. So you change the size and the shape. They've created a monopoly to the point where even your Tesla vehicles are loaded with these flashlight batteries to make them run. So how does that affect the rest of the world? Ah, that's the interesting question. So we look at Donald Trump and the current White House platform trying to put sanctions on China, which is in reality a smart move from the sense that Chinese goods go up, the Chinese tariff us, nobody wants to export, we start manufacturing at home. Yeah, it makes sense. But therein lies the rub. We can't manufacture cell phones. We can't manufacture flashlights. Can't manufacture radio equipment. Can't manufacture portable power tools without that lithium. Now, what if, say, the Chinese government says, fine, we'll take your sanctions. They'll say, fine, we'll sanction you. What if they come back now and say, we're not selling you lithium? Now, all those theories about American technocracy and American technology, American politics, American manufacturing, well, that goes down the drain. Goes down the drain because now you have no product to manufacture because you don't have the raw materials to make the batteries to go in it. Now, how are you going to stop a Marxist government from taking over your country? How are you going to stop a Marxist, communist, or communist government from bringing down your economic system, from shutting down your nation, from taking over when they have the materials that you need for your lifeblood? So herein lies the rub. We're short on lithium. And yet no one is going out and looking for a replacement. No one is figuring out how to use calcium or some other halide. So we're hamstrung by the Chinese government. Chinese government can control the flow of lithium and other rare earth metals that are found in that nation. Chinese can control the price of lithium and those rare earth materials. Chinese can control the manufacture of those very batteries that are used in those devices because they hold the patents on those devices. And the world laughs at us. You're pissing off the Chinese. It's kind of like an angry teenager going up against a world-class boxer expecting to knock him out in one punch or two or 10. Now, the problem is that this issue is not just with lithium. It's with other minerals, other materials. We threatened sanctions recently against certain countries and Germany and some other countries for against buying Chinese oil. Against buying Russian oil. What does that do? Well, they lower the price. They sell it to them anyway. We just shot ourselves in the foot, folks. Because now our oil companies can't go drilling because they can't make a profit. Because the price of oil has sunk so low because of Chinese and Russian oil and aggressions against our nation for trying to control that through OPEC and other means. We pissed off the wrong people, folks. You know, I'm not particularly fond of China. I kind of have a fondness for Russia because my heritage goes back to Ukraine and to Russia. But the Chinese government, I could do without. But China controls the world. China and technology control the world. Because of technology, we are stuck with the lithium debacle and other rare earth metals. You know, we've known the problem with rare earth metals, gold, diamonds. People love diamonds. There's another good one. What is a diamond? A diamond is a crushed lead pencil squeezed under millions of tons of pressure under the earth or in a factory. We can make diamonds. We can make beautiful diamonds in a manufacturing facility. But no. Where do diamonds come from? Where exactly does anybody care where their diamond comes from? A $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 diamond engagement ring or beautiful little bauble hanging off your ears? Where does that diamond come from? That piece of carbon, that piece of garbage, one of the most ubiquitous materials in the entire known universe, the thing all people are made out of and all plants. $2,000 or $3,000 because there's limited supply blown out of volcanoes and overturned by tectonic plates meeting each other. Where does it come from? Most diamonds, there are a number of diamond mines. Most come from poor countries in the middle of nowhere. Most come from Africa, where they're mined by children. They're mined by poor people and slaves. They're mined by slaves that are stripped when they go in and stripped when they come out, their clothing shaken out for any dust particles. Their living expenses outstrip their wages. Just like in the old days of coal mining in the United States. So the labor is basically free. Transportation is basically free. Diamonds weigh next to nothing. There's no tariffs on diamonds. So why the cost? Ah, the cost of diamonds, you ask. You need to ask the De Beer family about that. One of the world's largest criminal cartels who control the price of diamonds, who refuse to allow manufactured diamonds on a market. They call them fake. Same process that was used by the volcanoes to make these diamonds, but they're fake. Who mark their diamonds, demand that others mark their diamonds with micro markings. And if they're not marked, you're not allowed to sell them as diamonds. Same diamond, dug out of the same mine. But if De Beers doesn't sell it, you're not allowed to sell it. Biggest criminal cartel in the world, second only to China, probably. I have to say the Chinese are the biggest criminal cartel, holding everybody over their heads. holding precious metals, technology over their heads. You know, America's right. America's right to restrict, to go after China. But it's the little teenager going after the heavyweight boxer, my friends. We're going to get beat up. We're getting beat up. I wonder why the world is in lockdown. Why the entire world is sick, fighting, rioting. Because Donald Trump pissed off the Chinese. And the Chinese have taken over what we sometimes call the deep state. Because the money's in China now. Chinese markets, the Chinese purchasing power. But let's dig deeper into this lithium debacle. Who really is controlling that? Yes, the Chinese control lithium. Yes, the Chinese control much of the technology, even that though it came from the United States and from other nations. Let's look at some of the country. Let's look at some of the companies that moved to China, spent multi-billions of dollars on facilities. 3M, Monsanto, ConAgra. And others. The names are unbelievable. The companies that are out, that have moved to China to manufacture goods and made promises to China in return for great sums of money to build these facilities. So who's controlling the puppet strings? Is it China? Or is someone controlling China who's controlling the rest of the world? My bet is that that our U.S. corporations that have become traitors to other nations, that have taken their business overseas, yet called it an American business because it's only the manufacturing that's overseas, that have gotten promises and tons of money from the Chinese, are the ones controlling this whole situation, because they're the ones that stand to lose. If relations with China go bad or tariffs are put on goods, the tariffs are actually put on American, quote, American companies manufacturing products in China. Which is why you see the likes of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, ConAgra, Monsanto, going after our social media and our mainstream media to pull down valid information that proves that the Chinese government is our enemy. Yes, we are in a Cold War, no matter how you cut it. And we're stuck with it. Unlike the days of Russia, I laugh because people say, oh, the Cold War in Russia. Well, that was over whether or not they were going to blow us up because we wanted to take them over. Big deal. You can deal with that. You can get the missiles out of Cuba. It's all political. But take the economy and our U.S. corporations locked into an agreement with the devil in China. That's a problem. That's not a Cold War you can win. That's untenable. And you're going to see as the days go on that there are going to be more riots, more fake news, more things taken down on social media, more things not seen in the mainstream media, more lies and deceit, trying to bring down the one person in the entire world. I'm going to say, too, because we've got a prime minister over in England that's pretty cool. Kind of looks like our president, too. And I laughed the other day looking at it, like, wow, it looks just like Trump. And I'm glad they're on our side and had the guts to pull out of Brexit. And they're standing tall and proud because of it. But we're the only two. No, I wouldn't say the two. There's two people in the entire world. It's the prime minister over in England and the president of the United States right now that are standing up to the corruption, the crimes of these worldwide cartels. Talk about draining the swamp of alligators. You know, it's funny. They say, oh, Trump's got to drain the swamp of the alligators. What happens when you go in to drain the swamp of the alligators and you find an extinct Tyrannosaurus Rex coming at you? Or when you try to drain the swamp of the alligators and realize that the alligators are sitting on the top of an undetonated hydrogen bomb. The alligators aren't the problem. It's the puppets pulling the strings on the alligators. I don't think that Donald Trump knew what he was getting into when he signed on for this gig. You know, if we had had Hillary Clinton in right now, this would be the, you know, business as usual and give me the free stuff. And they don't really even care about the free stuff. They would have done the same crap. It's been going on day after day, year after year, status quo, just so that they can do their prostitution and their child slavery and their human trafficking, drug cartels. That's what politics is all about. One hand washes the other. You come in and you say, look, I'll elect you if you. And now you become, what they don't tell you is what that if you is. They'll say if you, and it'll be a innocuous thing like if you push for equal rights or if you help us with the medical issues in America, healthcare issues. And then they tell you what they really want. And then they get you in a compromising situation, be it a, you know, political, sexual, or other situation where you can't come out of it. They'll threaten your family. They'll find ways to threaten your family. They'll find ways to threaten your businesses, your livelihood. They'll put you in the poorhouse where they'll kill you. Now, I know some of you listeners out there are saying, who is this guy? How the hell does he know this? Making this up? So let me qualify this a bit. You know, I had a run, a pretty good run for U.S. Senate back in 2018. If you want to know how the government is run, if you want to know how this quid pro quo goes, run for a federal office. The first thing that happened is the news media came for me. Then the cartels came. News media came first. Then the LGBTQ came. And then the cartels came, basically threatening that they would take me down if I didn't support them. Then when I failed to support those issues the way they wanted, they put me in the Southern Poverty Law Group as a white supremacist. It's true. You see my name up there, Schechter, put it in Google. And even though they proved that I'm not a white supremacist, they left that article. It not only left the article in, but they put me in their hate crimes book. This is what they do to you. You know, I'm actually kind of proud of that. I mean, how many people are in the Southern Poverty Law Group's hate crimes book? That's pretty cool. It shows you've done something right. But it also shows you where the mainstream politicians get stuck. Because I didn't win that election. Maybe I'll never win an election because of that. I don't really care. But I learned how the system works. So what I'm saying is coming from the heart of someone that's been through it. This is not secondhand source. It's like when I talk about this plandemic, this fake pandemic. 4 years of research still proves the Chinese were involved, and the Russians, mostly the Chinese. In 4 years, I was a delegate at 2016 Republican National Convention, met a reporter from Russia who said there was a Bulgarian individual I should talk to. Turns out to be a whistleblower. 2016, he predicted that this pandemic would happen almost exactly the way it happened. I didn't believe him. He sent me about 1,000 pages of stuff. Still didn't believe him. How the hell can you accept that a whole world like that? You can't do that. Stupid me. Met 4 other whistleblowers. Finally, I told him, I said, look, I can write your story, but I can't write it as fact. I can only write this as fiction, based on fact. And I wrote the book. It's supposed to come out in March. Guess what happened in March? The book became reality. And yet there's more to come. But it shows the involvement and who is involved and what the deep state actually is. It shows what's yet to come. And it's scary. We haven't seen the beginning. This is literally the tip of the iceberg. And with 30 seconds of self-promotion, you can look me up by name or you can just look up the book, which is Dark Water Game Over. 4 years of research. Had my life threatened a few times along the way. Ran into a lot of scary situations. Met a lot of scary people. Found the liars, the ones trying to sway me. Found the ones telling the truth. 4 years of research. So you know who I am. I'm a first-hand source. I'm not a third-hand source, second-hand source. I'm not someone just voicing their opinion. I've been through this. If you go to the website, darkwatergameover.com, there's some free information, and you can learn a lot from there's a drop-down with a lot of free information. Please go there and look at that. You'll satisfy a lot of your curiosity as to what's going on today. Lives were lost over all this, and my whistleblower is now missing. He went back to Bulgaria to face his crimes, hasn't been heard from since. But I have 1,000 pages of information. And now I'm taking on Facebook. You can't take on all of social media. You can't take on all the mainstream media. But you got to take someone on. If you take one on, you've taken them all down. Because if you can prove that you're right in one instance, you can prove that you're going to scare the others away. And it should apply to the others. You know, I'm tired of taking stuff down. I'm really sick of it. I don't know how you feel. I can see them taking down something that's totally fake. I don't like fake news. I can't stand fake news from either party, from either or from any individual. When someone says something that's patently false, yet it seems true, there have been a few cases where they've misquoted people, they've used people's names and pretend they had quotes, and they've done a lot of stuff that's very dastardly. I don't like that. But when a group of frontline nurses working on the COVID cases, group of frontline nurses and doctors with medical degrees working on the front line come forward with facts from the field, and Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram shut them down, Google shuts them down. Why? I'm coming back to full circle again. For those who missed the beginning of the podcast, this has nothing to do with lithium. This was a separate topic. Why are they taking it down? Not because they are promoting alternative medications that may or may not work. No, they're taking down those posts because those doctors said you should be, that face masks are worthless. And you know, I don't know all the facts on that, but the fact is, this was said by doctors on the front line, and that's a fact. And that should not be taken down as a fact check. That should not be pulled. I mean, they might want to say this has not been proven, this has been proven and covered. I don't care if they do that, but to pull that post and to shut down those doctors who are speaking out for us, that's wrong. And so I put it on my own server and reposted it with a warning to Facebook that a class action suit is going to follow if that comes down again. We'll see where it goes. That's probably going to be a topic for yet another podcast down the road. It should get interesting. Right now, you need to choose sides. This is a war. That it's a war between good and evil. And there's some comments coming up that are kind of interesting. I'm not quite sure. I guess his name is Rich on there listening. I appreciate your comments. And you're right. If you can't prove something, it could be false. But you can't prove, they haven't proven, you know, a lot of these, you know, this whole face mask thing. I'm on the fence about face masks myself. I'm on the fence of this pandemic. And I personally believe that wearing face masks in a situation where you have a virus out will curtail the virus to a great degree. And I've been reading some articles that as long as it's a real, face mask, a double layer with a, it was a really great article out. I just saw recently that had a whole listing of what works and what doesn't work. The problem is that this virus that's out right now has such a low mortality rate that there's no proof that it won't go away on its own, or there's proof that it isn't. Now, my concern, I'll tell you my concern with this whole thing. And then our podcast is going overtime here, but I'm going to tell you my concern with this whole thing is that personally, and I get hit on this all the time because there's, you know, the issues with the numbers. Where is it coming from? What kind of virus is this? I keep saying, I don't like to use the term genetically modified or manufactured, but I'm telling you right now, this thing came intentionally from China. It'll come out eventually. And you can't say that because they say, oh, it wasn't manufactured. I don't care what's manufactured or modified. This thing, it could have existed and been on the rolls. I mean, they knew about this since 2015. They've been trying to find a cure for this since 2015 when Bill Gates was involved with that and certain others. Put a lot of money behind it. Even Fauci had money behind it. Some of the labs in Wuhan investigating cures for coronavirus. So they know this thing existed. And my gut feeling is they had it sitting on the back burner waiting for the day when they would need it to release it. But you can't say it was modified or manufactured or genetically engineered because I say that's already been proven wrong. No, I've never seen it proven wrong. Yes, no, it was not cut with a CRISPR-Cas9 machine. Doesn't mean it wasn't selectively chosen to be dangerous. And that's where my problem comes in with it, where people say this is not a dangerous thing. It's got a low mortality rate. It may have a 1-2 punch. It may have something else coming. We don't know what the plan is for this thing. So that's exactly, and there's a comment, was exactly right. What would evolve from it, right? Exactly. They can change and modify. And that's the scary part. But if this thing is planned, if this thing was planned, the timing couldn't be. I mean, you look at the timing of these things. Interesting comment. About every 5 years, actually about every 4 years, we have an outbreak. It seems to be every time there's a presidential election. Now, that could be coincidence, oddly enough. Coincidences are kind of strange in that way. But I would be extremely cautious with this virus. But you want to hear both sides, because there's a number of doctors that saying the alternative medications work. And we should have that knowledge to decide if we want to use that or not. That's the big point. It should be our prerogative if we want to use an alternative medication to try and save our lives. And that's what's being taken from us, that knowledge. We're being censored. Folks, my pumpkin, my carriage is turning into a pumpkin. I really appreciate it. We've got a number of people on. For those who came in late, the beginning was interesting on the power of lithium and how the Chinese are using it to hold us hostage. So I implore you to listen to the beginning if you missed the beginning. And I'm sure you'll enjoy that. I really appreciate the group I have this evening. You know, consider throwing us a couple bucks to keep the news online, the facts online. No topic yet for next week, but it should be interesting. And I thank all those listeners tonight that are live and all those that are watching, that are going to listen to this once it's posted. I wish everybody a great, great evening. And thank you for giving me a follow, Rich. Really wonderful people. If you give me a hearts or little pod beans and things, it's great too. I'm just the person speaking. The folks that own the podcast are really in need of some support. So whatever you can give them, I'd really appreciate it. And definitely we'll be on next week with some interesting topics. And we'll also have an interesting topic on the Thursday, the last week of August. We'll be actually having I believe Trump's going to give his acceptance speech. Since we don't have a convention, I am a delegate this year as well. And maybe we'll do it live from some place where they're doing an event, since we're having local events. So it could get interesting. We'll see what happens next week. Anyway, thank you so much, and God bless everyone. Please tune in again next week and tell all your friends about us too. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God bless you all. Good night, everyone.